Chapter 30. The next day started much as the previous one had, with Gregory and Yukiko going to the offices before breakfast. They'd eaten at their desks, then did the peaceful fist together. Gregory went through the paperwork he needed to do, most of it being missives from those who wanted to complain about Kroga. The most common seemed to be about how some dirty yurtik dared to act like an equal to the writer. Only one demanded a reply to their complaint, so he wrote that person back, placing a copy of it into the files. He smiled at the thought of the person who'd get the reply in a couple of days. His wording had been perfectly in line with normal expectations, but did remind the merchant that additional funds to the Empire for any wars with Kroga would help make it easier for his wishes to be seen. Having been around Yukiko enough, he knew the last thing any merchant wanted was to give more money away, so it would likely stop the man from ever sending a second letter.
"Dear heart, our guests have arrived,"
Yukiko said, leading their wives, plus Ragnar and Verka, into the office. Gregory stood up as the 10th bell began to chime.
"Welcome back to the embassy."
"Well, I'm not glad to be here, but I'm glad for the company,"
Ragnar said. "Thank you for welcoming me back into your temporary home," Verka smiled.
"Please, sit and have some tea,"
Gregory said, staying by the desk. Ragnar eyed him with speculation until he saw the ring in Gregory's hand. Nodding in understanding, he took the offered chair.
"Thank you, Ambassador. How does that title feel?"
"Heavy, weighted with the expectations of a nation," Gregory replied. "But it's my duty, and I won't turn away from it."
"Your cup,"
Mindy said, holding out a cup of tea to Ragnar.
"Thank you, healer."
Once everyone but Gregory was seated, he pressed the ring into the spot to activate the enchantment on the office.
"We have an hour at most before I have to stop that. We'll use Ling's enchantment at that point."
"The problem is that someone with enough power can push past mine,"
Ling sighed.
"I haven't found a way to stop that yet."
"Well, most enchantments can be broken by someone of sufficient power," Verka said. "There's no easy fix to that. The ambassador privacy ones were created by grandmasters or elders."
"I see," Ling frowned. "Pity."
"Let's not get too caught up in other matters,"
Gregory said. He took his seat, accepting tea from Mindy.
"Thank you, my heart."
"Always, dearest,"
Mindy smiled as she sat back.
"We recently learned that the Peaceful Fist is a derivative of older paths," Gregory said. "Aether favored the Calming Hand."
"Yes, you did,"
Ragnar chuckled.
"While I preferred my Forceful Fist."
Clover snorted, then coughed, having just been swallowing her drink. Ling was quick to offer her a cloth and rub her back. The others all paused to look at the flustered woman.
Sorry,
Clover squeaked. Yukiko's lips held the faint trace of a smirk.
"Be careful when you drink, Clover.
Or you might end up wearing your tea." Verka chuckled. "Brother, I've told you before, many times, that that was a terrible name." Ragnar laughed as he grinned widely.
"It's a great name. Look, it still gets that reaction."
A flashback touched Gregory of an almost identical conversation between the siblings, but ages in the past.
"None of us know the Calming Hand. Can you show us, Verka? Then Ragnar can show us his version of the meditation."
"Forceful Fist,"
Ragnar chuckled.
"Never be afraid of saying it."
"I'm not sure I ever want to say it,"
Gregory snorted.
"Now, for us to use the enchantment, I have to mark down Y in the forms. I'll say that I was lobbying to get you to raid Lamaze instead of the Empire. Should I put down that you were unreceptive?"
"I listened to your pleas, but informed you that the target, which I will not disclose, was already chosen."
"Bloodrock," Jen sighed. "I figured it would be." Ragnar's gaze slid to Jen, then away.
"I won't say."
"As you shouldn't,"
Yukiko said.
"If we're ever questioned, it would cause problems."
"I was curious. Do you two have different parents?"
Mindy asked softly. "No, we're full-blooded relatives," Verka grinned. "He just didn't get any of our mother's traits while I got her horns, which will be shedding soon."
"Just like other yurtiks with horns," Ling said. "Do yours get a soft sheathing when they grow back in?"
"Yes. They're very sensitive when they're growing in."
"Did you think my prodigious size was because of who I am?"
Ragnar asked Mindy with a grin.
"I don't know of any other person as tall and broad as you. Even a Giel isn't,"
Mindy said softly.
"Gunnar and Gunther aren't either," Gregory said. I thought he was human. What heritage do you both have?
Caribou,
Ragnar said. Mother's built like me, Virka smiled softly. She was overjoyed that I can see now. I've been asked to invite the healer home so she can thank you.
I would be honored.
After the duels would work, Gregory said.
We'll have to get a gift for their family,
Yukiko said slowly, looking into the distance.
Something fitting. It might take a few days to arrange.
Mother will be thrilled, Ragnar said. Our father is a big man, not as large as me, but still robust. He didn't ask, but I know he wants to meet you too. We might need to wait until after the spring.
I'll go with you when it's time, Mindy,
Yukiko said, seeing Mindy's nervousness.
Thank you, Yuki.
Before I have to turn the enchantment off, I had one more question for Ragnar,
Gregory said.
What ritual is it that allows you to instill Aether into a champion?
Ragnar met Gregory's eyes for a long moment.
The one you showed me, that I taught to my priest before I passed. This way, I'd have people to train with when I came back, but also, in case the worst came to pass, and those blessed turned to war, I knew you and I would again have to confront them, like we did before.
Memories hammered into Gregory, and he groaned as he slumped forward. Jen was there to catch him, as were Yukiko's shadows. Sweating while the pain slowly ebbed away, Gregory panted as he tried to calm his mind. The old memories of war, ones where Aether and Krog had to stop those with power from subjugating those without, had come back. The battles were against powerful blessed who used their magics for war, which was against everything that Aether had taught. They met the physically enhanced and force users with honor, but any other Aether user was subdued or killed.
Greg?
Jen whispered, looking into his eyes.
Memories hurt,
Gregory wheezed.
I don't understand why you did this to yourself, brother,
Ragnar said.
To be better than I was.
The words slipped out of Gregory's mouth without him even being aware of it.
He always felt he should have done better, Virka said softly. I think our lives before the last one bothered him. He didn't really talk about it, but I could see it.
Ragnar was quiet while the others helped Gregory back into position. Once they'd been assured he was fine, Ragnar spoke up again.
Brother, I don't understand. But after we fix what's gone wrong with the Empire, we can look at trying to do better.
Darkness told me that I need to be an elder to even have a hope of facing Toja,
Gregory said.
But yes, we'll have to fix the Empire first. It's broken. Very broken.
I'm going to pull the ring, Greg,
Yukiko said.
Maybe we should step onto the patio for the calming hand?
I'll guide you, Virka said. I expect you all to flow into it easily once I show you.
Then I'll show you the forceful fist,
Ragnar said.
That still sounds so wrong,
Clover muttered.
We're in agreement there, Clover, Virka said.
It was a couple of hours later, with only a few spies watching them until they returned inside. Ling set up her enchantment, and faint music filled the area. That spun the Aether spies into a bit of a tizzy as they tried to find a way to listen past the music.
We're good for a little while,
Ling said as she sat back.
It was natural,
Clover said excitedly.
I prefer it over the peaceful fist,
Mindy said.
Most healers do. Virka smiled. No healer I know is comfortable with violence. I prefer Ragnar's, Jen said. That felt better to me.
Because you're a warrior, Ragnar grinned. Those of us who enjoy combat always take to it. It trains you to be controlled while staying aggressive.
I was fine with either, Gregory said. The calming hand felt a little more fluid, which makes sense.
We can practice the calming hand, but should keep to the peaceful fist when we're with others.
Rishana said.
It'd look odd if we suddenly changed our routine.
You aren't wrong, Rishana. For now, we should stay as we are,
Yukiko said.
Little by little, we can adapt our styles. Jen, you should work toward one style that we could use for the men, and Mindy should deviate into the more passive style she prefers. This will let the rest of us adjust to what works best for us. We've gotten so used to following the paths before us that we haven't looked to forge a new one.
Should we forge a new path, Yuki? Ling asked. It'll make us stand out even more.
I'll consider the pros and cons of it. Either way, we should stay with the Peaceful Fist for now.
We'll need to be going soon, Ragnar sighed. I doubt either Verka or I will be allowed to visit until after the raids.
Are you going to go with him, Verka?
Mindy asked. I'll be going with the healers, Verka nodded. I couldn't go before because of my eyes, but now I can.
We'll pray for you both. Oh,
Clover said, then giggled.
Even knowing what we do, some habits are hard to break.
Ragnar laughed loudly.
I understand. If I didn't praise Krog, it would be odd or even heretical to some.
It's been a challenge at times, Verka said, rolling her eyes. Especially because of the phrase so many know. Krog's balls? Jen snickered. Yes, Verka grunted. Why is that the one thing people kept as a curse? I will never understand.
True. There's not an Aether's shaft or something similar.
Yukiko managed to say it with a straight face, but her eyes twinkled with humor.
Mortum's muscles?
Rishana giggled.
Oh, traveler's toes?
Mindy added in.
I'm not adding to this, Gregory said. Only Vera's left.
Probably for the best, Ling chuckled.
Oh, wait! I had a question!
Clover blurted out.
Did Aether really eat a dragon heart?
Gregory winced. His head began to ache, but no memory came from it. Everyone held their breath, but he shook his head.
Just a little pain.
Yes, Verka said softly. I can recall him being so sad because of it. I don't remember the why, just his sorrow with having done it. It was the last dragon in the world, and then it took a grove of Yuzu to purify his Aether afterward.
Why was he called Aether if our flames are Aether? Did we call...
Ling started, cutting off when Gregory groaned and clutched his head.
Calling our power Aether was from before we walked those lives,
Ragnar said, watching Gregory closely.
He took the name because of who he is. He's the most powerful user of Aether in the world, even with me and my sister here. Once he grows stronger, Toja won't even have a breath of hope. Before that day, though, it's best that we wait to announce ourselves.
Gregory grunted.
Yes, we wait. The pain is fading again, but let's not delve into that topic right now.
We should go,
Ragnar said. He looked at Ling's enchanted music box, seeing that the cores were almost gone.
Brother, I hope your memories come back, or at least cause you less pain. I also hope for a better fight next time we spar.
He saluted the room.
Ladies, thank you for accepting my sister again. I won't allow her to marry him, though. Not until he's proven himself again.
Verka snorted as she stood up. You have no say, brother. I'll abide by my future family's wishes. Yuki, we'll talk again about things.
Yes,
Yukiko said.
Hugs before you depart.
The two men shook hands, then stood to the side as the women said goodbye. Ragnar exhaled softly, then spoke in a whisper.
I know you'll do your best for her. If anything, you're a kinder man today than you ever were before, brother. But as her older brother, I need to do what I must do.
Gregory nodded his head.
I understand. My heart's wanted to join us, as she does and I do. If you insist that I beat you, don't fault me when I do.
Ragnar left just as the enchantment failed, so the four spies all heard Ragnar's amusement.
I'll wait for the day, Gregory. You defeating me? I had you easily during the festival and will continue to beat you for ages to come.
Gregory just smiled before he took Verka's hand in his, giving it a soft squeeze.
Please keep yourself safe. My wives enjoy your company.
Verka's smile was bright as she squeezed his hand back, letting her fingers linger for an extra moment. I enjoy them too, Gregory. Yukiko's eyes glittered with mischievousness as she stayed silent. She and Verka had plans, but they'd have to wait until later in the year. Chapter 31. Gregory exhaled when he let go of Foresight.
Rudit is difficult.
How so?
Yukiko asked, looking up from her making her arms master squares. Taking a quick scan of the room, he relaxed.
I don't know how much Light Shield told her. At times, it feels like she knows who I am, and at other times, it's like she only knows that I'm key for the clan.
Does she cause problems with what you did on her days off?
Ling asked.
She questions a lot of things,
Gregory said slowly.
But it's because she's trying to make sure the paperwork is framed correctly. I also think she's upset at being caught off guard by the trade agreement from Spirit Lotus. My giving her daily briefings have made her relax more than she would have, and coming back from her days off to find that important piece of business waiting for her...
Gregory trailed off with a shrug.
Rudit's upset that she's lapsed in what she sees as important skills,
Yukiko said.
I can understand that. She's not mad at us, though, right?
Clover asked.
No. At the end of the meeting, she's fine,
Gregory said, pulling out the wax tablet and paper for the day.
I'll be stuck there longer than normal answering questions, so I'll only be sitting with Clover afterward.
Clover beamed at him, wiggling in place as she looked back at her own puzzle.
Makar will stop to thank me before I go to see you, Clover.
May?
Mindy asked with a soft smile.
He doesn't say much about the dates, but it was plural. They went out on both days. Mostly he just wants to thank me, then all of us for helping him meet her.
I hope it works for them, Jen murmured.
It will. My glimpses into the futures before their dates had high probabilities for them.
How will that work?
Clover asked.
Before the posting ends, he leaves with her. They'll stay in the city after having a priest break the rune. He becomes a scrivener, and May works the front of the shop so he can focus on the copying.
Aww,
Clover said softly with a goofy smile.
What about the others?
Roshana asked.
I haven't pushed, Gregory said, but I think at least a few ask for what I gave Thera.
We'll need to figure out how to make that happen and not come back to bite us,
Yukiko said.
But we have years for that. Right now, we have training to complete.
The group lapsed into silence as they all gave their full attention to the Armsmaster squares they had. Gregory took the seat in silence, waiting for Rudit to finish her paperwork. She was unhappy, not with them, as he'd seen earlier, but with herself. The best path was to wait for her to finish.
Pet it, Rudit finally said, setting aside the paperwork. I have questions about what happened during my days off.
Yes, ma'am,
Gregory said.
Before that, tell me if there are any surprises today.
You've had the worst surprise of today already, ma'am.
Rudit sat back, staring at him in silence for a long moment before exhaling slowly.
Gregory, tell me what happened.
Your first day off, Ambassador Spirit Lotus came by,
Gregory said. His gaze slid to the patio doors where someone was forming their magic to spy on them.
She was disappointed that you were not here, but still left the document for you to look over.
Rudit nodded. Her eyes flickered to the patio, then back to Gregory.
What did Yukiko think of it?
That it's an amazing deal for the clan, ma'am. It'll gain us some sway, as the flowers will be much sought after.
And they're slow to come in, giving us time to make sure we get the best out of any deal. I'll be using expensive channels to get an answer from Bishop. I don't think she will refuse the deal, but it will be up to the clan leader to accept.
Yes, ma'am.
She was here for longer than just leaving the deal.
The ambassador spoke unkindly of the Emperor, ma'am. As my report states, I was trying to be polite, but had to finally ask her to stop. That was when she left the document.
Gauging if the younger Magi are willing to turn on the Empire?
No, it felt like a personal grudge, ma'am. She wasn't clear on it, but her family was mentioned in relation to the Emperor.
They do live very long lives, Rudit mused. Very well.
Is there anything else, ma'am?
Yesterday, the embassy was visited by Ragnar Iverson and his sister again. You sat with them in this office and used the enchantment to speak with them. Your report states that you were trying to convince him to raid Lamaze instead of our nation. Why?
Having faced Ragnar during the festival, ma'am, I thought it prudent. The Empire will respond slowly to a raid, and will at most send a Magus to try thwarting Kroga. but any Magus that comes against Ragnar will die. I believe he would kill me if we fought in earnest. He won't be alone, either, as he's always raided with his friends and fellow champions. That will see more Magus tier magi respond, and they will perish just as quickly. If the raid persists, we'll summon Master Magi, or even a Grandmaster or two, but I'm not certain even a Grandmaster will be enough.
That comes close to treason, Rudit said pointedly.
No, ma'am. I'm the only living Magi to have fought Ragnar. I do not try to inflate my own worth when I say he bested me without using everything he could. Taking my past accomplishments into account, that should show you that even a Master Magi is unlikely to fare well. A Grandmaster would have a chance, but unless it's a Grandmaster who's fought for their lives before, I don't have much faith in them.
I see. Do you think he will raid the Empire? Gregory hesitated, then sighed.
Yes, but I have no idea where. Our shared border is expansive, giving a large amount of land to cover.
I'll still have to send a dispatch to General Ruzi. It'll be up to him to move the army or a higher-tiered Magi to stop it.
Yes, ma'am.
I task you with looking into the future and trying to determine what will happen. I know it will take days, but do your best. The better the intelligence we can give to the General, the better it is for our nation.
Yes, ma'am.
Very well. I will have to add an addendum to your reports. Later, you will have to read them so you can better understand what you should have included.
Gregory already knew, but he bowed his head. Rudit's addendums were to help paint his reports in a better light for him. They weren't lies or dishonest, but the phrasing spun them even more in his favor. Yukiko had wavered on some of the suggestions during their report writing. Rudit's addendum would include all of what Yukiko had debated.
I understand, ma'am.
You'll do the peaceful fist with me now. After you do your duties for the day, but before dinner, you will return to read the addendums.
As you decree, ma'am, Gregory said.
Stepping out of Rudit's office, Gregory gave Makar a strained smile.
She'll have a task for you shortly.
I'll handle it, Makar said before he cleared his throat.
Gregory, thank you.
It's okay, Makar,
Gregory replied.
I'm sure you already know, but still, thank you for saving her from that place. Thank you and your wives for giving her hope. And thank you for bringing her here.
The date went well?
Gregory asked, doing as he'd foreseen earlier.
Dates, Makar murmured. We had one both nights. I won't say more.
He met Gregory's eyes.
She's so much more than anyone gave her credit for. I'm thrilled she asked you.
Gregory patted Makar's shoulder.
Life is good, but it'll be even better. Just be you and hold to that hope.
I will. May Aether bless you.
He does every day.
Gregory smiled. Have a good day.
You as well, Gregory.
Greg!
Clover's smile was bright when she saw him.
Hello, my heart. I'm ready to learn more alchemy with you.
Come sit,
Clover said, patting the spot beside her. He took the cushion beside hers.
What are you working on?
I was about to start on some eardrops. If your hearing stops, these can help fix the problem.
Oh, that'd be useful,
Gregory said.
I would be sad if I couldn't hear,
Clover nodded.
I'm sure others who lose their hearing are. We begin with water. The purer the water, the better.
She suddenly had a pitcher in her hand.
I had Rishana make me some after breakfast. There's nothing purer than freshly made water.
Gregory was quiet as he watched and listened.
We need to heat it to boiling first.
Pouring the water into her magic cauldron, she ignited the heating rune it had.
While that heats up, we can work on the ingredients. Call grass, whisper bark, and soothing sap are all required for this. If you can grind down the bark to as fine a powder as possible, I'll get the grass cut.
Taking the bark pieces from Clover, he placed them into the mortar.
Do I need to use my aether while I'm working on it?
It's not necessary, but if you want to try infusing a little as you work, that'd be wonderful. If we keep it as infused as possible, the drops will be stronger.
Understood,
Gregory murmured. He focused on pushing his aether into the mortar as he ground the bark into powder.
Now we have to let the parts meld together,
Clover said as she put the lid on her cauldron.
That didn't seem like that hard a recipe to follow.
Only because everything's fresh,
Clover said, turning to face him. She glanced around, then directly at him. Gregory gave the room a look with aether sight before he smiled.
No one's spying on us.
Our rings keeping things fresh is what makes it easy. Otherwise, the process requires slowly infusing aether back into each part while you handle them. That takes longer and is far more draining.
I see. I apologize for thinking it was easy.
I wasn't upset, but other alchemists would be.
Her chipper voice dimmed.
It's not nice when someone devalues your hard work.
Gregory reached out, gently pulling her into his lap.
Memories.
Clover would normally be giddy to be in his lap, but her mood was subdued right now.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell me?
It was before I became the me that I am now. Before Dad explained I should be happy all the time.
She exhaled as she looked into the distance, leaning back into his chest.
We were working on letters in class. The instructor stopped next to me, then grabbed my wax tablet. He held it up for the class to see, mocking me for how my letters looked. Most of the class laughed when he explained that beasts learning to write would always be inferior to their betters.
Gregory held her closely. Her pain touched him, making him want to soothe all of her old hurts. Clover sniffled once, then gave a weak laugh.
But look at me now! I'm a magi while the rest of them aren't!
That started the bullying.
No, I was bullied before that, but it got worse from there. They knew the instructor wouldn't stop them. Me and the others with visible Yurtic heritage. We had it rough.
We'll change it, Gregory murmured, tightening his hold on her gently. It'll all change, my heart.
I know,
Clover whispered back.
I know you didn't mean anything bad by it, but it reminded me of that day.
Gregory eased her away from his chest, then gently moved her so she was sitting on him sideways.
Can I make it better?
Clover's sadness fell away as she looked into his eyes.
Oh, you already have.
Gregory leaned in to kiss her. Softly and sweetly, he let his love of her show in their gentle embrace and kiss. The more he heard about what his wives had endured growing up, the more he hated what the Empire was. Seeing the wholeness of Kraga only made it an even sharper contrast.
One day, we'll tear it all down and make it right, he thought.
Chapter 32. Gregory pulled out of his foresight visions with a thoughtful look.
All things are in motion. Greta isn't there today for the honor duels. The participants are not yet adults, either.
They started moving for the raids, Jen said.
It'll take them a month or so to march to the border,
Yukiko said.
Krogians march faster than the Empire. In Gambit, at least,
Ling pointed out.
Especially on their home ground,
Roshana added.
Because they won't take wagons to start with,
Clover said.
They just carry their gear and food for each person. Every village and town will give over food and drink and resupply them on their way. Wagons will follow behind, so they'll have support, just not right at the start.
All good points,
Yukiko said.
We'll call it 2 weeks to reach Osla. It's doable since they won't march in rank and file. That's where they'll pause and group up. Maybe a week there to get everything in order.
3 weeks puts them on the border and beginning the raids,
Gregory said.
That's when the Council and ambassadors will come to see us.
Because the Council will know it's not a simple raid, but a push for Bloodrock. They'll need to make sure we don't cause problems.
Speaking of, Gregory exhaled, Yuki, you get orders today.
Spying. I knew she'd eventually have to task me with that. I wonder what targets she has me trying to listen to. The Council Longhouse is aether-protected. It's impossible to spy on at all.
What?
It's in the records,
Roshana said.
Every ambassador tries it if they can, but no one's ever been able to listen inside.
I'd love to see the enchantment's aether placed on it, Ling sighed. It would give me so much to experiment with.
I never thought about that, Gregory murmured. Protected in all ways.
Huh. He fell silent for a moment as he thought about the temples.
Can you spy on the temple?
Yukiko looked at him for a moment before she pursed her lips.
I'll give it a try. If I can, then you could slip inside. You want to check the altar?
I'm curious about what I left there.
It'd be best to do it at night,
Yukiko said.
If they do leave anyone there at that time, it would just be a single priest.
We're getting off topic,
Mindy said.
Right, Gregory said. The raids are starting. It's my day at the honor duels and meeting the new go-between.
Gregory's lips twitched when he thought of who it was.
Kreta's mother is happy that her daughter's raiding.
Kreta's mom takes the position of organizing it?
Jen asked.
Vexa Brekka's daughter is more of a bear yurtic than her daughter. She has ears like Kreta, but her eyes give away her heritage, and her nose is broader and tinted darker than her face.
Strong heritage features for her,
Clover said.
But if she isn't furred and doesn't have a full snout, then she's at least a second-generation yurtic.
Right. She's very proud of Kreta. When it becomes clear that Kreta was going, she stepped up and offered to take over until her daughter returns,
Gregory said softly. Roshana touched his knee.
Are you okay, our soul?
Better than I was with Anna, Gregory said softly. It's a normal day for most of you. Yuki, Rudit doesn't tell me what your orders are, and you're ordered not to tell us.
He looked up to meet her gaze.
Don't tell us. I'm sure it's a test.
Yukiko stared back at him.
As long as it doesn't hurt the family, I won't keep a secret that would hurt us. Not even the Emperor can order me to do that.
Greg's right, though, Jen said. Rudit hasn't tested any of us for months. This is likely a prelude to see if, when the bigger orders come, you can be trusted to follow them.
Yukiko grimaced.
Assassination. It would be foolish and idiotic. None of them would have their guards lowered during an active war.
We'll have to wait and see, Gregory said. For now, hold it back.
Very well, our soul,
Yukiko sighed.
We have training to do. If we're going to be thrust into action, then we need to stay ready for it.
Everyone gave their attention back to their wax tablets. Gregory summoned his to start copying the puzzle for the day. Gregory walked with Mindy and the unit of men out to the gate. Standing outside were six people with sparring weapons, but also an older woman.
Good morning to all of you. I don't see Kreta.
My daughter is with friends,
Vexa said.
I will be filling in for her until she can return to the capital.
It's a pleasure to meet you, ma'am,
Gregory said, saluting her like a Krogian.
Your daughter has been key in making sure these exchanges of culture go well.
Vexa's smile was broad.
It's always nice to hear my child is respected. I am Vexa Brekka's daughter. It is an honor to meet you, Gregory and Mindy Pettit. My little girl has told me about you and your wife, Jen. I wasn't sure which of you it would be today.
Jen should be here tomorrow,
Gregory said.
Shall we?
They began to walk toward the arena as a larger group.
Tell me, Pettit, if my daughter faces your countrymen, how will she do?
Call me Gregory, please. With me and my wives all being together, a little informality can help avoid confusion.
Very well, Gregory.
As for Kreta, if she faces the normal guards or conscripts, she'll be fine. If the army shows up during the raids, she'll have a harder time, but would probably do well. If she faces a Magi, though, I'd worry for her. But she won't be alone, and when Magi do arrive, I'm sure the champions on the raid will be eager to take them on.
That is true. I just hope she is safe and returns home with honor.
I have no doubt that Kreta will accrue honor. More honor, I should specify, as she's gained a lot by doing what she has here.
She did,
Vexa chuckled.
Champions have lauded her for her actions. It is what brought her to their attention enough to be invited on the raids this year.
Her organizational skills really shined,
Mindy said, joining the conversation.
To take on what she did would have been daunting to most people.
My little girl was never one to back down from a challenge. When she brought the first set of challengers, it was solely to fight and gain honor. But then she saw an opportunity to take the position of leader for the duels when you said you'd keep allowing them.
She was quick to understand that, and she used it to climb into the ranks of the raiders,
Gregory said.
I'll pray to Aether and Krog that she returns to you with great honor under her belt, but also safe and whole.
I never thought I'd hear a Magi wish for a Krogian to return home safely,
Vexa said.
But you and your clan are far from normal Magi, from what my daughter has said. Thank you, Gregory.
Will you be taking a dueling spot, Vexa?
Mindy asked. The older woman laughed.
No, I gave up my fighting days when my Greta was born. Normally, I help my husband with his work. I didn't want my daughter to lose her place as the organizer for these duels. So for now, I will be doing this.
What does your husband do? Gregory asked.
Butcher and salter, Vexa said proudly. Family business for generations.
Is that how you met him?
Mindy asked.
Back when we were children, Vexa smiled. He was helping his father, and mother sent me for some mutton. The first time I saw him, he was strong, smiling, and his deep voice tingled my chest.
I understand that,
Mindy sighed softly in remembrance.
Greg might not have a deep voice, but I know the feeling of finding your heart.
I'm still not sure how your family works,
Vexa laughed, pulled from her reverie.
7 magi, all in love and happy. Vera must love your family.
She does,
Mindy giggled.
There's no other explanation,
Gregory smiled, his mind drifting to Verka.
Please be safe, my heart,
he thought, before focusing again on the conversation. Heading back to the embassy after the duels, Mindy spoke softly.
I missed having my friends to help me today.
You missed their company?
Yes. Lita's been here most days, and I know she's gone with the raiders. Verka would have come to chat if she hadn't gone, too.
That's true, Gregory exhaled. They might ask us to stop the duels in the coming weeks, too.
Because if we're outside the embassy, we might slip away or pass messages. It might happen.
Mindy paused.
Do you think I could request another of their younger healers to assist with the duels?
Gregory was quiet for a moment as he thought about it.
Yes, I'm sure they would too. We can send the men back and see if the council will see us.
Should we? Without checking with Rudit?
Oh, that's a good point, Gregory murmured. Guide me for a moment.
I have you.
Gregory pushed Foresight for a few minutes before coming back to himself.
I'll speak to Rudit when we get back, and she'll send a request on behalf of the embassy. She would have been upset with us if we'd gone without asking.
I'm glad we didn't then.
Me too, my heart.
Will they stop the duels?
I didn't check on that, but I will tomorrow morning.
Okay. It'll be different if they do. We'd be stuck inside the embassy.
Which will be less than ideal, but if it happens, we'll adapt to it.
After you speak with Rudit, can I have you for an hour or two to show you healing?
Gregory's lips twitched as he was certain that she'd also want a kiss or two in private.
As my dear healer wishes.
Mindy smiled softly and squeezed his hand.
Thank you, my heart.
Chapter 33. About a month blurred by for Gregory and his family. They celebrated Jen's birthday the same way they had Yukiko's and Clover's. Clean Waters was happy for the return business, with the owner greeting them with a big smile. Dinner at Simple Fare had them again sharing dishes, but skipping the sheep's head. The other diners raised mugs to them, knowing them to be magi, but accepting them because they were being respectful. Yukiko felt terrible about keeping her spy intel from them, but she was doing as ordered. While she couldn't spy on the council in the longhouse, she could whenever they weren't there. The spying she did on the other ambassadors was just as fruitless, but she continued to do as she needed to. The attempt to peek into the temple showed her that she couldn't hear anything once the doors were closed. That cut off hope that Gregory could sneak in and see what was in the altar. The council did send a recently blessed healer to the duels to learn from Mindy. The young man was withdrawn at the beginning, but by the end of the first week, he was chatting happily with Mindy between bouts. When it came time to heal, he was focused on following Mindy's directions to learn as much as he could. Gregory exhaled slowly when he let go of Foresight.
We're cut off as of today.
The council?
Yukiko asked.
Yes, along with Clearwind, Spirit Lotus, and Blit.
But not Shinna?
Roshana asked.
One of the subjects they bring up is the fact that ships have gone missing. Neither Buldoon nor ours have disappeared. Only Lamazian and Krogian ships have failed to reach port.
Which points the blame at one of our nations,
Yukiko said.
No doubt they'll be speaking to Shinna as well.
It sounded like they would be.
No more duels?
Mindy asked. None of us are allowed to leave the embassy, Gregory said. We are stuck inside on watch while the attack on Blood Rock happens.
I wonder what Radit will task us with if we're all stuck inside,
Jen asked. Business as usual. For you and me, it means more time training the men again. Yuki gets more spying, and all of us have to pick up her paperwork.
Not that any of it is born fruit,
Yukiko sighed.
As long as it's only spying, then it's not an issue.
You think Radit would task you with an assassination?
Ling asked.
Radit? No. But I would expect orders to come in from the Empire to remind Kroga that we're a nation of Magi. Including Shadow Magi.
Sending a fresh Magus after anyone with Aether, though.
Oh.
Clover started, then slowed and gasped.
The Council Elders, not the priests.
Yukiko nodded.
It sends a pointed message without the greater danger of attacking a priest.
Well, that would fracture everything we've worked for,
Mindy said.
If Yuki kills an elder, the populace would turn against us.
Gregory exhaled as he grabbed foresight. Let me see if it's at least in the near future.
It won't be until after Blood Rock falls,
Yukiko said, touching his leg.
Let it be, Greg. We won't be able to stop the order if it comes. All we can do is what we must do. As little as I want to kill one of the elders, if the order comes and I refuse, it would hurt the clan and our family worse than doing it.
Gregory let go of foresight to pull Yukiko to his side snugly.
Very well, my heart. But if or when the orders come, I will burn all my aether to assist you.
I know, dearest,
Yukiko sighed.
We should focus on our training for now. It's something we can work on that'll help us later.
Gregory was at the gates when the assembled ambassadors and Krogheim Council arrived. The Huskarls and embassy guards for Clearwind and Spirit Lotus that accompanied them made a strong show of force. Just behind the guards, a crowd was gathering to see what was going on. Milton's men shifted slightly, but didn't move to aggressively bar the way. Gregory had warned them all ahead of time, so they did their best to act calm and resolute.
Assistant Ambassador Pettit,
Stenson said, leading the council and ambassadors out of the throng.
We've come to speak with Ambassador Glowstone.
You've come with armed men, High Priest, Gregory said. Do you bring aggression against the embassy?
Stenson stared back at Gregory. The Magi was speaking calmly, without the anger or provocation that most would when confronted with the crowd before him.
Our business with the ambassador is to prevent unnecessary conflict, Magus. Withdraw your men inside the gates. Our Huskarls will take up duty outside of them.
Sergeant,
Gregory said,
bring the men inside, then make way for the council and ambassadors.
Yes, sir,
Milton replied before he started giving orders.
You'll keep your armed men outside the walls, High Priest. If they set foot inside, I will have to declare it an act of war.
Stenson dipped his head. Gregory was being calm, not boasting or grandstanding. With what was before the embassy gates, Gregory would be well within reason to think of it as an invasion against the Empire.
Huskarls, take up station to protect the embassy. Ambassadors, please leave your guards here. I request a single guard accompany me,
Blit said.
It is unwise for me to enter the Empire without protection.
Gregory directed his gaze to Blit.
Ambassador Blit, I vow on my flame and clan that you will not be harmed or detained. I must refuse your request, as any armed men inside these walls will only cause more distress.
Blit's head turned enough that he could clearly see Rafik standing to the side, taking notes. When Rafik's head dipped, Blit drew in a deep breath.
I will entrust you to hold to those words, Pettit. High Priest, might I ask for your personal protection during this meeting? Granted, Ambassador,
Stenson said, pleased that Gregory had spoken as he had. The young Magi was truly a disciple of his old friend, Lightshield.
Pettit, I personally guarantee Ambassador Blit's safety and behavior.
Gregory bowed as a Magi.
I accept your words, High Priest.
Milton had the men inside the gates, forming a corridor for the ambassadors and council to walk through. When the high-ranking politicians entered, Milton had the gates shut and the guards posted to keep them secure. He turned to salute Gregory, who was already leading the guests away.
You know why we are here, Pettit?
Stenson asked as they headed for the embassy doors.
The raid into the Empire has begun, Gregory said. Ragnar aims to take Bloodrock back.
Did you warn your nation?
Of my suspicions? No. After all, I only look a single day ahead. But there was a message sent out this morning. It won't reach the right people in time to stop Ragnar from taking the city. It will mobilize a strong reaction, though, as this is not a simple raid.
It is not,
Stenson agreed.
Tell me, who has the field? If this is a war, are we defending our nation or attacking yours?
We'll record it as an attack on our nation. You'll record it as freeing a city long held by our nation. The history of Bloodrock has become so mired in its namesake that both sides are right and wrong.
You seem remarkably calm about this,
Clearwind said from behind them.
I'm to be stuck inside these walls until the war concludes, Gregory replied. The Huskarls will hold the gate against us, but also keep the populace from attacking us. There's nothing I can do from here, and now I have been effectively cut off from the war. If I was to somehow escape the embassy, I would need to traverse the country to reach Bloodrock. While I could do that, it wouldn't be easy, and every town I pass through would do all they could to hinder me. On foot and with no aid, it would take me far too long to reach the front to impact this conflict.
Well said, Spirit Lotus said. Do you not feel the call to defend your nation?
I am but a single magi. The army will come to try and stop Bloodrock from being kept by Kroga. I do not think of myself as the equal to the rest of the Empire.
Stenson's lips twitched. He was aware that Gregory hadn't called it his nation, but only the Empire. Gregory was handling potentially dangerous questions with ease and poise.
We should hold the rest of this conversation for when we sit with Glowstone.
Makar got to his feet when Gregory entered the office ahead of the others.
Pettit, what is the meaning of this?
The question was asked calmly, making it clear that there was no surprise.
The council and ambassadors are here to see the ambassador on urgent business.
Luckily, her schedule is clear today,
Makar said.
If you'd be so kind as to take them in.
Of course,
Gregory said. Leading the group into Rudit's office, Gregory smiled when he saw the others waiting. The murmurs behind him made it clear that some of them weren't expecting the office to have all of the magi present.
High Priest, Council, and Ambassadors, Rudit said, standing up from where she was flanked by Gregory's wives. Please, do come in.
Ambassador Glowstone,
Stenson nodded. He led his group to take the seats across from Rudit.
I see we were expected.
Well, we do have the advantage of having a Foresight Magi on staff, Rudit smiled. Imagine my surprise when he came to me this morning and told me about this meeting.
All eyes went to Gregory, who took the remaining spot at Rudit's right hand. He gave them a small bow, as Rudit had already retaken her seat.
Then you know why we're here, and what the outcome will be?
Stenson asked.
As much as one can ever know. We are both aware that no future is set in stone, High Priest. Please, for the record, state why you are here.
Rudit smiled when Rafik sat off to the side, but between the groups, setting up his desk to take notes.
The Archive will have a record of this meeting before the year ends.
The Archive is a contentious point for some of us,
Blit huffed angrily.
For more of us than you'd think, Rudit said primly. Our former elder worked hard to ensure the peaceful surrender of the Archive. If not for him and Sage Windfoot, I do not believe you'd even be willing to talk to us today.
Blit fell silent when Spirit Lotus raised her hand to stop him.
It is true that the surrender of Westrig, especially the Academy Archive, saved many lives, even if they are now slaves. Having one of the descendants of the Archive here is both good and bad. But we should not let this topic overtake the reasons we came to begin with.
Thank you, Spirit Lotus,
Stenson said.
Glowstone, as of today, you and your staff are confined to the inside of these walls.
Please explain why, Rudit smiled.
The raids this year are aimed at your nation. We wish to delay your army or magi from responding until the last moment. As such, all messages will be unable to go out for a few weeks. Huskarls will be posted on your gates and around the walls to make sure you are safe from the populace.
Because when you go to war with our nation, tempers run high. We will abide by the restriction as long as necessities are delivered.
Food shall be brought to you every few days, just as you normally receive it.
You should know that messages were sent this morning before this meeting.
Because of him,
Haraldsson said, nodding toward Gregory.
Of course. It was his duty to inform me and mine to send the messages along. You didn't think we'd abandon our duty, did you? Only a fool would,
Astrid Daughter cut in.
Even when your hopes do not match those of your nation, you must still do your duty. Pettit showed that during his last posting.
He doesn't have the same leeway. None of us do. Is there anything else that we can assist you with today?
Yes, Clearwind said. What do you know of the lost ships this past year?
I've had a vague message that ships weren't reaching port, but nothing beyond that.
Ships from my nation, as well as those from Kroga, have failed to return home. One or two could be just an unlucky coincidence. However, it has risen into double digits for both nations, while we have heard of no such losses for you or Buldoon.
Being here and not in one of our few port cities, it would be hard for me to comment, Rudit said, lifting her chin slightly. Your words almost sound like an accusation, Ambassador.
They are not. Not at this time, at least,
Stenson said.
But you should know that both of our nations are taking an active interest in these missing ships. We will not look kindly on the perpetrators once they are identified.
As it should be, Rudit nodded. I would inquire about the issue, but you've just locked us inside.
Would you trust anything reported to you from one of those who might be responsible?
Spirit Lotus asked.
If it could be verified, yes, Rudit replied. I do not blame all of you for coming to speak to us. I do hope that after this conflict passes, we can again have the cordial relationships we've been cultivating.
I am not opposed if your nation is innocent,
Clearwind said.
Your clan will always be listened to, Spirit Lotus said. Aether's Guard has never once broken their word to my nation.
It has been interesting seeing the Magi under you striving to build bridges,
Stenson said.
From practicing magic at the piers, healing those who ask, and allowing honor duels from the youth to champions, on behalf of the Council, we would be willing to see this start again after this conflict. I would rather see the Empire burn to cinders,
Blit said stiffly.
But the Magi in this room do not deserve my ire. None of your staff were even alive during the atrocities of the past. You weren't in any position to stop them either. Instead of the anger and contempt I expect from Magi, I've only seen concern and kindness from your clan. Some even have done more than they should have to help the less fortunate.
His eyes went to Gregory before going back to Rudit.
While I will not set foot in this building without the High Priest beside me, even with the given assurances, I am not opposed to speaking to the Magi who are currently present.
Rudit bowed her head.
Very well. On behalf of the Embassy, we accept the confinement we are under. We are here to speak when any of you have business to discuss.
Stenson stood, and the others followed his example.
Very well, Ambassador Glowstone. When it comes time to lift the restriction, I shall return. If you want to discuss any matters of import with me, I will make time as well.
Rudit stood, as did the Magi beside her.
We will be here to see any of you as needed. May Aether watch over you.
Goodbyes were said, and Gregory escorted the guests back out to the gate.
Pettit, tell me, do you think Ragnar chose his target poorly?
Stenson asked.
As a Magi, I have to say yes. For his honor, though, no. Bloodrock is something that will define his honor for years, I believe.
Yes, I believe so too.
Chapter 34. The biggest change was the lack of honor duels. With Gregory, Jen, and Mindy stuck at the embassy, the men got more work. The others came out to work on developing their skills as well. Roshana was getting more adept with her pair of psi. Gregory was impressed, not having seen her use them since the Baldoon trip. She was fluid as she moved, her grip adjusting to parry or strike. Clover and Ling had also been getting better with their staves, but Mindy was the one who would need the most work with that weapon. Yukiko and Jen, with their level of skill, could both potentially aim for being arms masters of the Wakizashi. It was clear that both of them had kept a keen edge to their training. While Jen's skill had been on display during the festival, Yukiko's hadn't been. She'd surprise anyone who tried to attack her. When they added Aether to sparring, things got a lot harder for Clover and Ling. Because neither had offensive magic to aid them, using Aether pushed them back to be Mindy's equal. Roshana had learned how to use quick sprays of water to gain an advantage against her opponent. If they were prepared for it, she didn't have as keen an edge, but she could still use her magic to buy time and space. When Jen and Yukiko sparred with Aether, things got even more interesting. Much like before, Yukiko had to stay out of range while working Jen down. Those fights gathered large crowds and a lot of betting on either side. Gregory was undefeated whenever he used Foresight. When he added physical enhancement, it widened the gap noticeably. When he was using both, he could keep up with Yukiko and Jen without too much trouble. Even when Yukiko went all out trying to use Shadow Blades to stop him, he couldn't be stopped, though she was able to wound him. The one time they allowed for all enchanted items, Gregory trounced Jen and Yukiko. His use of the Shadow Ring got him to Yukiko in an instant. The brief fight brutal. Before Jen closed on him, Gregory had Yukiko out. He was bleeding, but he attacked Jen with such ferocity that she had no chance. Rudit's orders to Yukiko during the restrictions had increased, making her use her Aether Ring to manage everything. She didn't do much more than she could have naturally, not wanting to leave herself vulnerable or give away her full capabilities. The silence on who she was spying on was grating her as time went on, but she held to her orders. Roshana began practicing her magic at the embassy since she couldn't get to the docks. She formed and threw water balls in the yard for an hour every day to keep pushing her magic. Gregory took the time to visit with her as often as he could, trying to get a feel for water magic. He took time for the others, too. Clover was always fun to sit with and help with her alchemy. The fine control of Aether blending when working on some things was a challenge. He thought she might end up the best on fine control because of her magic being so demanding. Ling's was more challenging in the way enchanting worked, having the right materials, blending them together correctly, and infusing Aether into the right pathways to get the enchantment to work. Luckily, he only touched simple things, so when he did mess up, it wasn't a huge waste of resources, and Ling could easily fix his mistakes. He helped Mindy with any healing the staff needed, ranging from sniffles to an almost severed finger. The cook, who'd been surprised while cutting vegetables and gashed themselves, was apologetic when they'd been summoned in the middle of the night. Mindy easily soothed over those fears and had the man patched up in seconds. Gregory chatted with him for a few minutes longer, not having spent time with the staff other than the people he knew. He made a point of taking a night or two to visit with the others after that, learning from the older staff just how awful the last ambassador had been. His already low opinion of the man he'd never met fell even further. His familiarity with physical enhancement magic advanced at a rapid pace. Jen was bemused with how quickly he was picking it up. When they sparred with just physical enhancement, she could win even if she had to push for it. Gregory was still a master with his weapon, after all. He couldn't cut his Aether use down as finely as Jen could, but he was working on it. Jen tried to do what Gregory had during the festival, get her Aether to coat just the cutting edge of the blade and not the entire weapon. She hadn't managed it yet, but thought she would before the next festival. Spending time with Yukiko practicing shadow magic was always fun for Gregory. She'd achieved near-perfect control of her shadow hands, letting her manipulate things across the room with ease or in another room with slightly greater difficulty. When it came to shadow blades, she could form 20 without much trouble, but with each progressive blade, she started to gain instability. What she was working on currently was from the advanced shadow technique text that Rafik had lent her. Gregory used Aether Sight every time he sat with his wives. It helped him see the way they wove their Aether, giving him greater insight into how they did what they did. He did his best to weave his own Aether to match them, but besides physical enhancement, which he was progressing with rapidly, Shadow was the one he felt closest to. He was currently working on what Yukiko had practiced in the academy, forming a rough hand to pluck at a leaf. That had his attention focused enough that he didn't see what Yukiko had done.
Oh, who's a good boy?
Yukiko giggled.
What?
Gregory asked, snapping out of his focus at the question and tone. Yukiko smirked at him as she petted the shadow before her.
Not you, my dear heart.
Gregory stared at the formed shadow. It reminded him of an old foresight glimpse he'd had back in the first year. In that vision, Yukiko had shadows like puppies pooling around her feet. Here she sat now with a full shadow hound in front of her.
You